I'm suiting up.
Welcome to Dr. 3, a Hearthstone podcast dedicated to giving you explosive growth in climbing the standard rank ladder. I'm your host, Daring Alkaline, and along with me are my fellow hosts, Nicolias and Mage of Death. Welcome back, Mage. How are you doing this week?
Hey, I am back. The water's down, and I am happy to be back. Wicked Good did a fantastic job last week with you guys. So glad he was able to fill in, and hopefully that's the last one I have to miss for a while, because, yeah. That's
sounded
no fun.
Stressful.
I like talking to you guys about Hearthstone, and I missed out on that last week. So good thing nothing's going on today that we have to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. So let's go over the poll question, which I take full responsibility for last week.
Rip.
You get. Yeah. I leave you for 1 week to come up with a poll question. And
yeah,
jeepers.
I know. What a. Bad.
If you didn't pick Reno, you lose.
Exactly. Yeah, the question was, which LOE character do you think will be the best? Well, since Reno is the only one who got one, I think Finley won the poll, but Sir Finley is in our imaginations and our hearts, and that's the only place he's going to be. So, unfortunately, I made an assumption when I saw Reno that all the League of Explorer cards or heroes were getting their own character cards. Silly me.
We would debate it so hard. Like, they said we were getting 4 legendaries or something, and then the first one they revealed was Reno, and it's like, oh, it's going to be one of each of them. And then it's like, no, there's 2 neutrals and a random shaman one, because shaman, so...
Yeah.
There's somebody at Blizzard who just like, we gotta keep buffing Shaman. Like, come on guys, let's get Shaman even stronger. Like, half of these cards that were from Descent of Dragons have been nerfed or something, you know, plus Mogu, plus like whatever, you know, like we just gotta keep giving Shaman more stuff.
To be fair, what they've given Shaman in this set, I don't know if that's an extreme buff for Shaman.
No, probably not. But
especially
there is somebody who is like, there's a legendary that has to go to Shaman. Like, it has to be Shaman.
Yep.
They gave Shaman a bunch of toys, and now over the subsequent weeks have taken most of them back. It's like, you were bad, Shaman. These cards are going back to the store.
I told you not to abuse Galakrond. I told you if you abuse Galakrond one more time, I'm taking it away from you. What'd you do? You kept abusing Galakrond. This is why you can't have a pet, Shaman. You abuse your dragon.
I'm just waiting. Like, somehow they're going to turn something broken from these cards, and we're all going to groan at Shaman Stone 4.0 or something.
Daring, I thought there was going to be a League of Explorers card for each one of the League of Explorers. So you weren't the only one that thought that based on the Reno hero card.
Yeah. I mean, so it just makes sense since everyone else got hero portrait or hero cards that maybe all the League of Explorer cards would get something too. But silly me. I don't design games for a living.
Poor Druid and poor Paladin. Only classes without a hero card right now. Or by the end of this.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, it's gonna be interesting. So the patch 16.2 dropped today on Tuesday. Galakrond's Awakening and Battleground changes. Link will be posted in the description. So we got some game improvements. Several fixes were implemented for bugs which could result in the client crashes when playing Hearthstone on iPad. Also, I want to point out, too, I had an issue last week with the Tavern Brawl where I got to the 6th boss and I lost. And every time we would go back to Bob, my game would crash. So
they had to swap out the Tavern Brawl halfway through for the 4th time.
Yeah,
they swapped it out like middle of the day on Thursday. And okay. So
I think that's the second time this year or in the past 2 months at least.
Yeah, like, it's more than like not at all, which is what was happening before. And I was actually looking forward to playing that because mm-hmm. it was like single player content, right? They in fact pushed a notification to my phone saying, hey, check out Reno and Northrend on this week's Tavern Brawl. And then you go on to try to play it and it's like, unstable portal, 23 of those, and then you build a 7-card deck.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad I missed that then. I hate that one.
But it was kind of weird because there was like a timed tavern brawl, but like it didn't have the extra rewards that typically are associated with doing it under like 40 minutes or whatever they normally say.
Mm-hmm.
But like it was just, you could take like theoretically, you know, 4 or 5 days or whatever to get it done and nothing would change from your reward apparently. So
yeah,
I felt kind of weird, but yeah, they had to get rid of it for the portals.
Yeah.
Yeah. The big thing here was I mean, obviously the patch was to get Galakrond's Awakening, and I'm actually surprised we didn't see that sooner than today, but you know, and then there was more Battlegrounds changes, but the fact that this supposedly fixes all these bugs, because Hearthstone is unplayable or has been unplayable to this point on the iPad. It just, as soon as you start the game client, it pretty much just freezes or just like instantly closes. And so, so like if you wanted to play on mobile, it seemed to be working okay on my phone, but I could not get it to work on the iPad. So it's nice that they addressed this.
I'm confused how a company like Blizzard can have a QA department that let that whatever patch messed it up go out.
Apparently
in the
it's
wild.
Been messed up for a while.
Yeah, like, I know.
This isn't just like Descent of Dragons. This has been like an ongoing thing. I don't have an iPad, so I don't really know, but I follow Baby Bear on Twitter, and she's been complaining about this for a long time.
Yeah, I saw a few other people complaining about it recently, too. I'm like, what the... I mean, this isn't game design. This is basic software 101, where you don't... If you put out buggy software, you fix it. Like,
well, this is partially, I'm going to take a guess and say that this is a lot and a lot and a lot and a lot of technical debt.
So. That's fair. Yeah, I mean, we did, I personally work in IT and I'm working for a company. We do a bunch of support for smaller companies. And recently, towards the end of the last 6 months, have been getting ready to get rid of Windows 7. So, like, there's a lot of companies that have the Windows 7 technical debt. And I'm not saying that's Blizzard, but, I mean, I would guess they have more Server 2008s than they have Windows 7. But I don't know anything about them from the inside as what their infrastructure looks like. I'm just taking a guess that the places I've worked at, they probably have accrued some technical debt, like you said, so...
Well, I mean, the biggest example that I can think of is if you disenchant a card that you have, like, multiple copies of and you leave so you only have two, like, it disenchant the extras, and then you exit and come back, it will show it as a new card.
Oh, yeah.
And somewhere they said that they tried to fix it and realized that it would break everything if they did. So now it's, they have it so like you don't have to hover over the card. You just have to like go to the page or something to get rid of that like number or whatever. But yeah, it's, I'm going to assume there's a lot of technical debt in this game.
I could go on for hours. I deal with bad software all day long, and that's a telltale sign if you can't do something basic that, like, you should be able to do this with your software. If they have to write a workaround for the most basic of things because it would break the rest of the software, rewrite your software. Just like, I understand that's not how things work in the real world with budgets and time and whatnot, but like, Jesus Christ, you're a AAA game company. What the what are you doing? Like, you should be have software that's well documented, like that works and well tested. And guess what? If your software doesn't work, maybe don't put it out, guys. Just a thought. I work in IT, so this stuff like really grinds my gears. So I'm just like,
super familiar with it. The most I've known is like the other game I tend to play is like League of Legends, and to extension of that TFT, all within like the Riot Games sphere. And I know that they spent like a good like 2 years or something cleaning up a lot of their spaghetti code.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're. Just for an example, there was a lot of environmental terrain that characters could create, and literally everything in the game was basically coded as minions.
Mm-hmm.
And it put up a lot of problems, and they had to eventually go back and fix everything. So yeah, it can take a long time if a company, especially if a company's not like wanting to go full deep dive into it. So
that's what kind of. What bugs me is like Riot Software wasn't much of a game company before League of Legends.
No, it didn't exist. It was League of Legends.
Exactly. That's my point. They might have done small things, you know, here or there, but League of Legends, like, so that makes sense that there would be some code that's like rough and like, you know, cobbled together to make a product because you need to start bringing in money. That's not the case for Blizzard. This is, I mean, came out in 2013.
Or Hearthstone in particular.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we can't just not to go too far off track, but we can't even have like a fifth button on the home screen. Like they had to change the arena to mode so they could fit the battlegrounds in there. It's like
I feel like that like their way of developing Hearthstone speaks a lot about where they keep it. And like the importance of like spending money inside the company, like they're like, we'll get some developers, we'll have people, you know, kind of testing it, whatnot. Just pay us, just give us the money. We know we have a solid product here. The core is somewhat solid, and it kind of works. So, which is just I'm getting angry. I'm getting angry because this is not. How you do things. This is not the proper way to fucking.
They're not the only ones that are doing this. It's actually been rather encouraging. If you've been watching the announcements this week, there's been a number of companies that have pushed back launch dates, presumably because the product isn't actually ready, rather than send out a product that looks like WWE 2K.
Oh yeah, I saw clips of that. It's like it's actually unplayable.
I think it was, and I'm gonna butcher this quote, but like it was Shigeru Miyamoto who said like something along the lines like I can't remember what the quote is basically, but once you release a bad game, you can't take that back. You can't fix a broken, like, you know, technically you can, because when he said it. It was, you know, the late 80s, early 90s Famicom, Super Famicom era of games. But, like, at this point in time, yes, you can fix it. But, like, first impressions are everything.
If you release a broken game,
then you're going to be a joke. No matter what they do to WWE 2K, it's never going to be, like, this version of the game is going to be a laughing joke of the gaming community forever now. Like, this is just a thing. Like, you can't undo this. So, anyways, I'm sorry. I will try and catch my curse, but there's no promise in editing. It's a little hard to always get it, and I didn't get the time when I said it. So, I apologize for anyone who heard that and is offended.
I know, we're all kind of talking.
I spoke over you, so yeah. Okay. Maybe you won't even
We're notice. All kind of talking at the same time.
Yeah, but, I know.
Moving on.
Yep.
Galakrond's Awakening is actually, well, at least the first wing is live.
Mm-hmm. And Evil Side is free. So, and the other thing, there's the blog post on Wing 1. I will also put all the links I'll put in the description for the podcast. So 11 cards will be unlocked in Wing 1, 4 on the Evil Side, 4 on the League Side, and 3 bonus cards. Yeah, and finally, the last point of news. Well, no, two more points of news. Complete reveal of Galchron's awakening occurred within hours of launch.
It was really weird timing on this. We expected a reveal season like we have with all card expansions, and there was an initial when they did like the first kind of mention of Galchron's awakening in early January. They gave us these four cards. You guys talked about them last week. They did an email with two more cards, and everybody's just kind of waiting for the rest of the cards. And there was crickets. There was nothing. And then all of a sudden, launch day of the patch, or launch day presumably of Galchron's Awakening, which would require a patch because none of this content is in the game client, like a couple hours before that, there was a video game website that had all the cards. And it was just like, where did this come from? And I know there was a leak late last week that showed like 10 of the cards, but this was all 35 cards. I think it even had the schedule for when they, which cards were going to be in each wing, but it was just like, where did this come from? And why are we getting it here the day this goes live as opposed to from Blizzard? And why was it not like before now? It was weird.
This is just
a really weird reveal season thing. I can't even call it a real season. Blah, 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 blah. Reveal season, because it was four cards, then two cards, and then 29 cards all at once.
Yep.
Like, sure.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I feel. I'm like, okay, whatever.
My feelings about this are pretty, like, whatever, I guess. It's my same feelings towards Galchron's Awakening as a whole. It's whatever, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And then,
so I guess it's fitting.
Yep. So final news point, Zedalot taking a break from Hearthstone. And here is his tweet. I'm taking a break from Hearthstone. I don't know for how long. It could be 1 week or 1 year. Time will tell. Wacky and hero cards make the game truly unenjoyable for me. So, and again, I will post that link in the show description. So
he is the premier, I would say, priest player. Like, mm-hmm. if there's anybody that can make priest work, it's going to be Zedalot. And the fact that there's not going to be a person trying to get priest to work first tells you this current state of priest, probably, in a lot of cases. But also just kind of like, I don't know, going forward, it's like, who's going to be the innovator when priest actually does get some cards? It's like it's a big hole. It's another very high profile person that has made, I think, their name with regards to, you know, playing Hearthstone, and now they're going on to something else. He's going over to Legends of Runeterra, and it's difficult to see when you have these really smart people and they're doing things to make the game more interesting by playing class, you know, a particular class and being really good at it. It's disappointing when they decide to go. But
yeah, I know his reasoning for a little bit of it is that priest has not really had any change for the past like 2 years or something. It's the only thing that priest has really been able to do ever since Spiteful Priest was killed, is combo in the form of Mind Blast or Divine Spirit or Resurrect, which, you know, a lot of people aren't a fan of. And we kind of talked about this last week, so we're not going to go too deep into it, but like, please help priest, please.
Yeah,
priest players matter. We're gonna have to start a campaign.
Yeah, well, our main topic, we're going to go over some cards. Maybe there will be something in here that will help priest out.
There won't be.
The narrator voice. And there wasn't.
And there wasn't.
It's sad because I think they actually got a really good card in this. I think it's this wing, but it just doesn't fit into anything right now. So
okay. So let's start out with the cards for this week. So first card up, we have Air Raid. It's a 2-cost paladin spell. keyword twin spell. Summon 2/1/1 Silverhand recruit with taunt. What do we think of that one? I mean, it seems all right, okay. So
from a pure like how like in a vacuum, you know, when you compare it to Lost in the Jungle, right? That was an extremely powerful card, so it's not like having a card that's worse than that isn't like that bad. And actually having the recruits have taunt is pretty important, I think.
Yeah.
Especially if you're like trying to protect either like the really weird scenario where you're like turn one coin sanctuary, turn two aerate or something. Like,
yeah,
there's a good chance that that can go off, even though like that's pretty fringe. But like, it can protect your other one drops that you play. It can just protect other other big minions like later in the game. So like in a vacuum, I think it's at least decent, probably pretty decent. The problem is that it just won't see play because this doesn't fit into any Paladin deck right now.
Besides what, like pure Paladin, and pure Paladin's pretty trashy right now.
Yeah, so.
Any thoughts, Mage, on Air Raid?
I think it's a solid card. It's actually just, yeah, it doesn't fit right now, but I feel like it's going to be probably a good card after the rotation when we suddenly lose a bunch of expansions. And if there ends up being more support, we've seen support for Silverhand recruits in the past. If they come back and do something again with that, where you somehow can buff the Silverhand recruits, then this gets to be a lot better. And the fact that it's the twin spell's nice because it's two cards in one, even if it doesn't feel like much because you've paid one mana for Lost in the Jungle in the past and it gave you 2/1/1 recruits, but I think this still might be okay.
Yeah. So next we have the nudge nudge wink wink of Blizzard giving you a chuckle as they print this card, Eye of the Storm. It is a 10 mana shaman spell. Summon 3/5/6 elementals with taunt. Overload 3. Just keep in mind, earlier this year, you could get 2/5/6 for 5.
Yeah, this card is horrendously bad. Holy crap.
But you think to yourself...
Or with Electra, you were able to get 4 for 8 mana if you had those two cards.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Holy crap, this is bad. They're
elementals. They're elementals, so that's going
to... And you won't have any mana next turn to use that with, so yay. If this was just 10 mana, then like, that's still not great because it's 10 mana, but like, at least we can like, you know... We'll see. The fact that it overloads you for 3 the next turn as well is just... What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? I don't know. Yeah. I think this card is horrible. Like, yeah.
This shows how ludicrous Dragon's Pact was in its original incarnation. The fact that you'd get 2/3 of this without the overload... As long as you'd invoke twice for less than half the cost. It was just absolutely crazy.
Or you could get 4 for 8 if you had Electra.
Right.
Or Vargoth for 9. It's bad. So next we have a 2-mana Warlock spell. Twisted Knowledge. Discover 2 Warlock cards. I like this a lot, and I think it'll fit very nicely somewhere into a control handlock style deck, because you play this card, you get 2 cards back, and you discover 2 cards. So chances are you're going to discover something more towards what you're looking to do. Maybe you'll discover that Twisting Nether you need. You know, it might be a Hellfire, a Mortal Coil, you know, Crazed Netherwing. You know, there's a lot of cards you could probably use. So I like this a lot. I think it fits a control style handlocky deck because you get a +1 card for playing it.
Yeah, I think it fits into the No Hands Lock deck that's kind of popular right now. Like we said, it's basically two mana draw two, but those cards can be like a third copy of a card that's in your deck, or a second legendary, or it could be something really situational, like an early minion if you're playing against an aggressive deck, or an extra board clear or something. Like, just the flexibility, and it's not really costing you anything to put it in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think also, it's fine.
It brings you closer to Mountain Giants.
Yeah.
So,
like, you could do this instead of Life Tap on turn two if you wanted to. Like, because it serves the same purpose, but you don't lose the two life. Which, depending which matchup you're in, that could be valuable.
For sure. Mage?
I think this is a pretty strong card. Exactly the reason you mentioned. It's the fact that you discover rather than just get two random Warlock cards is huge, because, I mean, we've seen cards in the past at this two mana cost. You know, things like Primordial Glyph, things like the Priest card that allowed you to grab a copy of a card from your deck. And I'm drawing a blank as to what that was again. Don't remember. But suffice to say, the fact that you can discover cards that either a copy of something that is in your deck or something that you now suddenly need based on this particular matchup is just really, really strong. And the fact that, like you were saying, you could use it instead of Life Tap, you're actually getting two cards for basically the cost of one Life Tap, mana wise. So I think it's gonna see play. You're not gonna put this probably in a real aggressive deck, or even maybe a zoo deck. But like, you know, anything where you've got a little bit of time and you're maybe have just two mana to spend, you can use this, and it's good.
So next we move on to a three mana warrior minion, Bomb Wrangler. It is a rare card. Whenever this minion takes damage, summon a 1/1 boom bot. It's a 2/3, by the way. So I feel like this effect is strong. I don't know, like, I look at it and it seems intriguing to me, and I see like there's a lot of way to obviously get this to trigger. I just don't know when it's going to be good. I would feel like, I don't know if it fits into, it kind of fits into Galakrond Warrior, kind of, but I don't know if that's a card you want, so I'm unsure of it. It seems solid, but I don't know exactly where it goes.
So I'm going to name two cards and kind of compare it to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
The first is Razorfen Hunter. That's a 3-mana 2/3 that summons a 1/1 boar. That card is terrible. If this only procs once, then you're essentially getting a Razorfen Hunter, except that boar like can deal 1-4 damage, so it has a little bit. It's a little bit better,
mm-hmm.
And it's also a mech, whereas the boar is a beast. So, whatever synergy. The other card is Imp Game Boss. That had one extra health, but that was a demon, and the imps were demons, and there was a lot of inherent demon synergy in Warlock. This is kind of in between both of them. I don't think it's, you know, obviously I don't think it's as bad as Razorfen Hunter, but I don't think it's nearly as good as Imp Gang Boss. So, meh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more on the Imp Gang Boss train. I think this is a really good card. I think Warrior, the advantage that, well, two advantages I think that this particular card has, is that one, Warrior has a lot of ways to do like one damage to potentially proc this. I mean, the Cruel Taskmaster, it's got Warpath, it's got a lot of different things that it can do on its own side of the board that can allow you to get those boom bots out. obviously the fact that the Boombot is a mech is something, at least for right now, for the next couple months till Boomsday Project rolls out and all the magnetic cards roll out of Standard. But until then, that seems okay. And then just like the fact that it's a better 1/1 than the Imp Gang boss's demons, because I think, you know, the potential upside is that it can do up to 5 damage, right? It does the 1 damage running itself in, and then can do up to 4 additional damage to something else on the board. So, you know, I feel like this is a pretty good card, and like, the difference between 3 health and 4 health is significant. I don't disagree with that, but I think it's almost on par with the Imp Gang boss.
The only thing I don't like about it is, yeah, that 3 health. And it's just like, if you don't damage it on your turn that it comes out, it's probably only getting 1 boom bot out of it. So I kind of feel like you need to inner rage it, you know, to get the most out of it.
Then there's a lot that I think that, like, better targets. Like, would you rather, like, Inner Rage, Bloodsworn Mercenary, this, or a Temple Berserker? Probably the Temple Berserker, if I'm being honest. But
yeah, exactly.
I'm not suggesting that that's suddenly this is going to be the new combo. Yeah. It's just more speaking to the fact that there are definitely tools at the Warriors' disposal that they can make. They can ensure that they tick off and maybe get 2 bombs or possibly all 3 bombs. And you're guaranteed 1, because even if you do 3 damage to this thing, it does create 1 boom bot. And so
it's
the only thing I'm going to say is that, like, when you're making the comparison to Imp Gang boss, obviously, like we said, the 4 health is a huge difference. Like, you almost never got a single Imp off of that. A lot of times you're getting 2 or 3. And then, like, the demon, the fact that the Imp Gang boss was a demon that spawned more demons, that was relevant. The fact that this is not a mech that summons mechs, I think, is, like, that's 2 shots against it.
Gotcha.
So I don't think that it is as good as Imp Gang boss. I think it's fine. But I'm not sure if it makes the cut in the current Galakrond warrior, and that's pretty much the only warrior that's being played besides pirate, and that obviously doesn't fit in there. So maybe it's going to have to wait until rotation to start seeing play.
The last thing I will say, in for my love of the Bomb Wrangler that I somehow have assigned to me now, is we're in a lackey meta. There is a lot of 1/1s rolling around, and this is a very nice card to have to deal with the 1/1s and continue to, like, it kind of helps you build a board in addition to, you know, dealing with 1/1s. So this works well with that. It works well against all the 2/2 treants as well. You'll get a couple bombs that way. So I think, as I said, I don't think it's as good as Imp Gang boss.
It's fair.
But I think it's closer to Imp Gang boss than maybe it might initially appear.
Okay, so next up we have Licensed Adventurer. It is a neutral 2-cost minion. Battlecry: if you control a quest, add a coin to your hand. I feel like...
And it's a 3/2.
Yeah, it's a 3/2. Yeah, so questing adventurer just seems better. Like, are you going to...
So, like, generally speaking, it's better to have a 2/3 than a 3/2 in almost every scenario. It's also generally better to draw a card rather than get a coin in, like, almost every scenario. So then the question is, well, okay, so I think we've established that, like, 99% of the time questing adventure is probably better.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to run both of these? Because one of the big downsides of questing adventure is once the quest is procced, they do nothing. So are you going to have potentially 4 dead cards in your deck? That seems like a lot.
Yeah.
And questing adventure doesn't even really see play in Questroard, which is just starting to come back. now that Galakrond Shaman's taken, like, Dragon's Pact, just like we were talking about last week, it completely shut it out. Quest Hunter is a thing, I guess, and that runs Questing Adventurer, but I don't think they would run this as well. And then Quest Shaman isn't really a thing, and none of the other quests see any play whatsoever. So I don't think this ever sees play.
I can't imagine. Like, I was trying to think of some way that, like, Face Hunter might use it, but it seems kind of pointless in Face Hunter, because I assume it procs on side quests too.
Yeah, it should. If we're going off the Questing Adventure, procing off side quests, then this should as well.
I don't feel like mana's your main concern. You'd rather draw cards if you had to choose one of the two in Face Hunter.
The payoff just, the coin. I don't think there's enough ways that, or enough classes that could truly benefit from having the coin, getting an extra coin. And the fact that this just dies to at least two of the lackeys, just if there's the Cobalt lackey just by the battle cry, and then like the Rush lackey, as long as there's a one attack minion on the board, it just, I don't know, feels like it's too easy to remove. And like, was, if you paid two mana to get a coin, that just doesn't and take out and make somebody use a lackey, that just doesn't necessarily feel like that's great.
The class that uses the coin the best is Rogue, and they have a better way of doing that with Galakrond. So, yep,
exactly. Exactly.
Next card.
Fresh Scent. It is a two-cost hunter spell, twin spell. Give a beast +2/+2. So it is the twin spell +2/+2 from Houndmaster without taunt.
Well, it's basically extra arms when it was buffed.
Yeah.
But Hunter, and it can only target beasts.
Yeah.
Which is a lot worse.
Yeah.
I don't know how many beasts you can reasonably expect this to go on to. Like, we're having a hard time putting on, like, that, I don't even remember what it's called. The 4-mana +3/+3 shuffle cards into your deck.
Oh, like, Dire Frenzy?
That's it. Like, that didn't see any play. Unless you were, besides, like, the mid-range Hunter, when Master Calls was the most broken thing you could be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's just not a lot of beasts out there.
Yeah.
Like, Hunter doesn't really play beasts right now. They're playing dragons and secrets. And, like, Subject 9, which I guess is a beast, but...
I mean, I don't know. I could potentially see it slotting in one spot in a Highlander Hunter. Like, I'm saying potentially. I'm not
the best target for this is like the Vicious Scalehide.
Mm-hmm.
Or a Huffer. And Huffer is unreliable, and Scalehide is not something that Hunter plays right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. This seems like, make the comparison to extra arms. Oh my god, it's OP broken. And then you look at what beasts are actually being played, and it's like, oh, maybe not. Yeah.
The beasts that Hunter is playing right now are good just on their own without the extra card on there. I mean, you look at Diving Griffin is a 4-attack minion for 3 mana and draws a card. So it's got Rush, it goes, you got Springpaw, you've got, yeah, Huffer is a 1/3 as part of Animal Companion, but Huffer is really the only one you'd probably want to put this on, and it's just like, you know, yeah, Subject 9 is fine by itself right now. Yes, you could put it on, say, the Unleash the Beast, but it's already a 5/5 with Rush, so it's like, a lot of the beasts that Hunter's already playing do have Rush, and it's just like, they're fine the way they are. They don't need the +2/+2, and you're taking up a card spot in your deck to somehow enhance a card that was already good enough to play already. So I don't get why that would be a thing.
Yeah, I think this would have been like really strong back in Roscon's Rumble when we had that mid-range Hunter deck, because it was all beasts, and it would have been really good to do like you know, one drop into Crackling Razor Maw into Fresh Scent or whatever, or just one drop into Fresh Scent, you know? Mm-hmm. But right now it's not, I don't think it's really we'll see play. And then once Master Call rotates, I don't think that Beast Hunter will ever really come back until they get some draw mechanic like that, and Fresh Scent will probably just be sitting here by itself.
So next we have Shadow Sculptor, a 5-cost 3/2 minion for rogue combo. Draw a card for each card you've played this turn. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not sure on this card. It's like, the effect seems good, but is it too slow? I mean, do you save it till later on? This card kind of throws me off, so I don't know. I'm not going to speculate. Nikolaus, please inform me.
It's not too slow because you don't care about the stats because you're rogue.
Like, yeah.
They don't care about the board, like, almost ever. And they, like, when you're playing Galakrond Rogue, for example, like, you have the Umbral Skulker. You can add 3 coins to your hand very easily, which is essentially trading, like, you get 3 mana and you get 3 cards with this thing. The problem I have a lot with that deck is that a lot of the times your hand is just full. Especially if you're getting the Lackey, the Spell Lackey, and the Dragon Lackey, which keep adding stuff to your hand, and your hand is just full of stuff. And you're like, hey, I have this, like, Galakrond I would like to play right now, but it's gonna burn 3 cards. That's not very useful. You know, like, so, I'm at the point where it's like, it's a strong card.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely worth playing. I don't know how it makes, like, how it fits in. My thought is that you can only play one of it, maybe. Like, you cut one card for this and put in one copy, because when you draw it, it gives you enough gas to find Galakrond when you're having a slow deck, a slow game. But I think having two of this is, like, too much.
What about Highlander Rogue? Does this fit in Highlander Rogue?
Highlander Rogue plays bigger minions a lot of times.
Yeah, that's even worse.
So, I mean, I think you'd end up probably only getting one card off this, and that's maybe two if you've generated a lackey before you play this, but it's... Yeah, they're playing the Siamat, they're playing Dragon Queen, and so there ends up being a bunch of bigger cards in your hand. I just look at this and it's like, does Rogue really need another way to draw a bunch of cards? I mean, I guess some are leaving, but yeah, Myra's Unstable Element, you've got Togwaggle that can give you a card, you've got Galakrond that allows you to draw cards. I mean, yes, I've played Galakrond Rogue. I know that there are times where you just miss those cards, but I mean, you're not going to keep throwing more and more draw cards into that deck, I don't think.
I don't want to spoil, like, too far ahead into the wings, but Rogue is getting another card draw card. I think that is like an auto include. So then it's like, you have those two plus Togwaggle plus Galakrond plus, like, anything else that you discover from the spell lackey. Like, at a certain point, you reach the saturation point of too much draw. Mm-hmm. And I think Rogue is approaching that. You know, gotcha. You can't just have a deck full of draw cards. You actually have to have cards that deal damage. So that's why I'm thinking maybe only one.
The thing that's kind of interesting about this, and it's, to me, it seems like a potentially interesting thing to do as Rogue. Like, if you were doing a Miracle style deck where you were trying to leverage the Umbral Skulker and things like that, if you didn't want to go the route of an Auctioneer, which was a card that you would use to draw cards in the past, this doesn't require you to have an auction, you know, play the Auctioneer for 6 mana and then play a bunch of cards. This, you can just, maybe in the natural course of the game, you build up a hand with a bunch of small things, maybe the coins from the Umbral Skulker, and then you just play a bunch of, you know, 2 lackeys, you play 3 coins, you play this, and then you suddenly have two mana left over or something, and you've drawn like five cards or something, and that sets you up in the future. So I think it's an interesting thing from a Miracle Rogue standpoint, if you wanted to try doing this instead of Auctioneer. But I don't know if it'll work, but it seems like it's something that might work.
Okay, so we're kind of running a little long right now, so we've got four cards left, so let's just kind of speed round these ones. Skydiving Instructor. It's a 3-mana neutral minion, 2/2. Battlecry, summon a 1-cost minion from your deck. I feel like maybe Zulok.
I was thinking Zero Token Druid, yeah.
Yeah. Not much else. It's, I mean, if you, the ideal is pulling a Flame Imp off of it, I would think. Yeah. So
you can pull up, or in the Druid pulling the Acorn Bearer. Like, I think it's fine.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Probably at least 3/3 worth of stats, which would be vanilla, but potentially upside of like you said, like a 5/4 across two minions for 3 mana. That in a token deck, I think that you're playing enough ones that seems like a reasonable thing to do.
Okay, next up we have a 7-cost mage minion, Animated Avalanche. It's a 7/6. Battlecry. If you played an elemental last turn, summon a copy of this. It's not great right now. I mean, the effects are very powerful, but what elementals are you playing right now? So,
Elemental Mage sucks.
Yeah.
If Elemental Mage continues to suck, then this won't see any play. If Elemental Mage somehow becomes amazing, then this card will be amazing.
Yep.
But like I said, Elemental Mage sucks, so.
This isn't Scion of Ruin. It's a lot more expensive. Yes, they're bigger bodies, but it's a different condition to get the battle cry to get the copy, and it's one less copy, and it just, yeah. On its face, you look at this, you're like, oh my god, this is crazy. It's crazy stats for the cost, but it's probably not as crazy as it looks.
So then we have Winged Guardian, which we mentioned briefly last week. It's the 7-mana druid minion, 6/8, taunt, reborn, can't be targeted by spells or hero powers. I'm not exactly sure where it fits in, but it seems solid. I mean, a 6/8 that you can't just spell down. So,
yeah,
most of the time, yeah.
Interesting. I think it's kind of meh. Like,
yeah,
it's great within big and druid, I guess, but like, I don't, reborn doesn't really do anything for it. It's,
yeah,
basically just divine shield when it dies, which is kind of whatever. I don't know, I'm kind of like meh on it.
I like the card. I think it's pretty strong. I had suggested when I saw this on stream that maybe this is another card to try and remake a big druid deck with the strength in numbers quest, that this would be a nice card to pull out for free just by having that. And you know, the fact that it can't be targeted by spells and hero powers, I mean, we had Bog Creeper that was the 7-mana 6/8 taunt that was pretty good once upon a time. This is a different Hearthstone than that was when it was good and popular. But I still think this is pretty strong, and I think that there's some things you can leverage to make it good.
Yeah. So, and the final card we also mentioned last week is one of the first four, Dark Prophecy, a 3-cost pre-spell, discover a 2-cost minion, summon it, and give it +3 health. Okay. I mean,
this card is fantastic in any priest deck that is not a priest deck being played right now, so it's terrible.
In your mind, it works in the perfect priest deck.
In a minion-based priest deck that does not include Inner Fire Divine Spirit, it is fantastic, but that deck does not exist, so...
It works really well in my imaginary Galakon priest deck. that's like rocking top one legend right now, that deck, this card's going right in there.
God, just think about Galakrond Priest is so bad. Oh my god. I swear, somebody at Blizzard like loves Shaman to death and just hates Priest and is like has to get his fingers and everything. Like,
I don't know. This is the company that did come up with what's his face? The Bard for what's his name? Barnes.
No, yeah. Barnes.
Yeah. So
I mean, I look at this card and it's basically I'm playing I get to discover a two cost minion and I get to basically give it a power word shield on the same turn, but I don't get to draw a card. Yeah. I don't know. It's
something.
Okay, I guess. This is not the card that I think is needed to get that minion priest deck going, unfortunately.
No, it is not. It is certainly not. Okay, so that's
the crappy thing right now is that basically every single priest deck runs Cycle Pump.
Mm-hmm.
And getting back a random two cost minion
is pretty awful.
With Cycle Pump is horrendously bad because you only really want to be resurrecting like hot expensive stuff or like injured Tolvir or like injured Blade Master, like, or even like a Northrai Cleric sometimes. Like, you don't want to be resurrecting like a River Croc or some stupid thing that this gives you.
Yep. So that's all these cards for Chapter 1. So, Mage, you want to go over the poll question that actually has a real answer? It has a not a right and wrong answer, but in fact an objective answer.
So presumably that we won't come back next week with the poll question and have it be invalidated by something Blizzard did this week. The question I have is, there was a lot of discussion leading up to Galakrond's Awakening talking about the fact that we wanted to see the cards before launch day, and I saw some other people suggesting, no, we don't need to see the cards. Let's just be surprised. So I want to know what camp you are in. Do you prefer to see all the cards in an expansion before launch day, or would you prefer to be surprised by the cards on launch day? So the that's the question. The answer is, answers are, reveal the cards early, I want to see them, or don't show me, I want to be surprised. Let us know what you think on this definitely very, very hot topic issue, and we will discuss the results on next week's show.
I feel like the people who don't want them shown were like, who grew up without the internet, and it's like, I want to go back to the old days.
Well, so there's a different issue here when it comes to seeing the cards versus getting to play at the cards early. And I definitely understand some of the people's disgust, I guess, when it comes to seeing a group of people getting access to the cards and getting to play in theory craft, like on the spot, and actually get to play those cards early. But I think it's another thing to actually just be able to see what it is you're pre-ordering, basically.
That's
and,
fair.
And seeing some of the cards that are going to make up. And so you can start to kind of say, I think this card could fit in this deck and that sort of thing. And so
it's also important for the Masters tours when I think there's one going out in the middle of this release cycle, which is kind of ridiculous, but you know, it would be kind of nice for the competitors to actually know what cards are they are not be able to play with and against, you know.
That's fair.
Also, okay. Maybe scheduling could have been better.
Yeah, that's true. The left hand could talk to the right hand. Anyway,
I think it's like the fourth Master Tour that's been screwed up by some sort of event.
They've been hitting on all cylinders. So you can find the show on Twitter at Dr3HS. You can join our Discord. It is our top pinned tweet to join the Dr3 Discord. You can email us at Dr3HS@gmail.com and go ahead and leave us a review on your favorite podcatcher. That if they have reviews, please leave us one and let us know what you think. And then finally, you can find me at Daring Alkaline on Twitter. Nicolaius?
You can find me on Twitter at Nicolaius123.
And Mage.
You can find me on Twitter at Majedeath, and then Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/Majedeath.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for this week. Look forward to talking about more cards next week. And as always, you've been listening to Dr. 3.
Boom.
Boom.